Now I'll read today's Bible passage. Today's passage is Genesis chapter 18, verses 9 through 15. Genesis chapter 18, verses 9 through 15. Now I'll read. "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind them. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that around 2,000 years ago, you came to this earth. You came to take all of our sin upon yourself. And not only that, we know that through anyone who believes on your death and resurrection, that we can receive eternal life and we be called a child of God. In your amazing and immense plan, Lord, we are always impressed with your love and grace and just how immense it is and how high and deep and wide it is. At this time of Christmas and in this season, Lord, we ask that we can be able to experience that in an even greater way. Around us, Lord, there are still many people who don't know about you. We ask that at this time of Christmas, that the cross of Jesus Christ will be known to many as something that personally relates to them. We ask that as many people as possible would take this opportunity to profess faith in you. We are waiting to hear this message that Pastor Hanjiki will give in just a moment. Please allow our hearts and ears to be open to hear it. With great expectations, we pray in the good name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, everyone. We're in the third week of Advent now. Thank you so much for joining us today to be able to celebrate that. In the First World War in Europe, that was where the battlefield was. And many children actually lost their parents as a result of it. They became so-called war orphans. And these European children were greatly assisted, actually, by American families. They were taken as adopted children. The children who were adopted into these families were put into their new environments, and there were some that immediately were able to adapt, and some that could just really never adapt to this new environment. In order to look into the reason why this was the case, there was an investigation that took place. And one clear thing that they found out was that for the children, it really depended on how they experienced life prior to being adopted and their very, very young age. For example, if they had grown up in a family that had a lot of love, then they were more proactive and positive in their character. they realized that there were good things in life and that they were could look forward to it, and that's what they tried to do in their new environment. However, for those young children who are unfortunately either abused or betrayed or had a very difficult upbringing, they actually had became quite negative, and this applied in their new environment as well, unfortunately. As for us, the news that we see and hear these days is pretty much all very sad or terrible news about war or terror, murder, for example, or fraud. There is, of course, news that we do hear that is good, but is also things about disasters taking place. And in this way, it can really harm our hearts, and it can take away the hope we have for the future. That's why it is really important to listen clearly to what the Bible has to say. The Bible can encourage us, and it allows us to be able to have joy and faith and hope. It gives us encouragement. In today's passage as well, it tells of one of the great messages of the Bible, told through one of the wonderful women there in those times. It was Sarah, the wife of Abraham. Do you know who Sarah was? I mean, character-wise. And one of the things that's known about her is that she was very beautiful. For example, it said in the Bible that even though she was over 65 years old when she went to Egypt, that the men in Egypt looked at her and saw her as being a very beautiful woman. In Japanese as well, there's a specific phrase for this. And it's referring to someone who's beautiful even in their elder years. It's a very positive word, actually, and it just gives the impression that it's because they're older that their beauty is even more beautiful. So I can see that all of you here are today as well. So Sarah was very beautiful. The second thing we know about her is that she was very obedient to her husband. In 1 Peter, actually, it says in chapter 3 the following: "Wives, in the same way, submit to yourselves to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe, they're in the baby born over by other words." It also refers to how it mentions Sarah, and who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. Sarah is also talked about in the Bible as being a person of faith. In Hebrews 11:11, it actually talks about a lot of different heroes in faith, as it says. And amongst those is Sarah. It just proves that she truly was a woman of faith. But she wasn't always in that way. You can see that by the passage that is shown today. It actually shows of her being a person of disbelief. However, because she had this period of disbelief, we can see how clearly she was able to grow into a stage where she did have belief. She did this through various trials and experiences she had. And in the same way, we too can grow in God by the various things we experience and even the painful things. Having faith just means that we trust God, and we can trust Him more and more, and that's what's referred to by growing in your faith. In today's passage, first we'll look at the topic of Sarah's disbelief. In Genesis 15, we'll go back a little bit here, it talks about how Abraham and Sarah were very old. Despite that, they had no one to pass on their inheritance to. Abraham thought about this and was wondering what to do because he had no child to give it to. According to the law in those days, he would just choose a servant that he trusted and could pass it off to him. So Abraham thought he would just give it to Eliezer, who is his most trusted servant. That's what he intended to do with his inheritance, with all of his belongings when he died. However, God told him that Eliezer would not be his heir. Says, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. So, in this way, you can see that it was actually God's plan that a true son of Abraham would be the one to receive everything. He told him to look outside at all the stars and see if he could count them in the heavens. And it was just a sky full of stars. God told him that his descendants would be as such as the stars, unable to count in number. And in this way, it's said that he was declared as being faithful and in faith. You can see how Abraham's children have grown and increased in number as God projected. Sarah, however, tried to use human wisdom to try to resolve the situation because she was not pregnant and didn't expect a child to be born. She found a young servant from Egypt by the name of Hagar and allowed a child to be born between her and Abraham and decided that that would be the child who would receive their inheritance. The child who was born was named Ishmael. And Ishmael is actually the person who started the Arab generation. Isaac was later born, and he was the start of the Jewish people. And you can see that the disagreement between the Arabs and Jews was actually caused by Sarah's disbelief. You can see how disbelief won't just cause problems in the era that they're living, but can also cause problems in the times to come. In today's passage as well, we can see Sarah was a person of disbelief. Let's look at verse 10 again. Then one of them said, so there's three travelers, right? And they came to Abraham's tent. Of them, two were actually angels. The other one is said to be Jesus Christ. The Jesus Christ who was born on Christmas, only long before the pre-incarnate Christ. And here it says, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Says Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him, and that she laughed. She laughed to herself as she thought, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Sarah was just heard this amazing promise to her that by next, the following year, she would have a child. This is an amazing promise to her. However, she wasn't able to accept it. She couldn't believe it. The reason why is that it was just such great news. Humans actually drift or tend to believe bad news a lot easier than good news. Good news is actually more difficult to accept. For example, general people out in the world easily believe in devils, evil spirits, and ghosts, and they're like, oh yeah, I know about that, or I believe in that, or whatever. If you look at TV ratings, there's a pattern for getting high ratings. If you say, oh, it's a spot where there's this ghost that appears, and let's go there. It seems like there's something there. So they can get really high ratings because they appeal to humans' interests. However, those people have a very difficult time believing that there is this great God of love. They're like, we can't believe that. It's very difficult, actually, for them to believe good news. So Sarah was listening and heard this wonderful news that was told to her, but was unable to accept it, possibly because it was just so great. A lot of people around the world can't accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, possibly for the same reason. They can't believe that they were chosen, and they were chosen by God, and that Jesus died for them, and that he has risen on the third day, and if belief in them will allow them to have eternal life. He has gone back up to heaven and will come again. All we need to do is say thank you to Jesus for what he has done, and then we can have it. We can accept it. However, a lot of people have a difficulty of believing and accepting this wonderful news. It's just kind of part of our character, it seems. Biden, President Biden in the U.S. is almost done with his term, and there are people who are upset about different things. Back in many days in the past, about 150 years ago, actually, there was a prison where there were about 1,500 prisoners, and six of them were actually going to be given special privilege to be acquitted. Over the period of the time, they would review these prisoners, of course not telling them that six would be acquitted, and because they didn't want to just acquit somebody who was being good because they knew they could possibly get out. So the staff of the prison observed these prisoners and chose six on an Independence Day to be released. And the commissioner came and he made this announcement to the prisoners. He said to them, six of you will be able to be acquitted. And this is due to what the president has decided. So they were really excited, the prisoners were. The commissioner said the first person's name, Reuben Johnson. Today, you have been acquitted, and please come forward. But no one came forward. So he said, Reuben Johnson, please come forward. And there was no response. So the commissioner asked, is this guy even here? And the officer looked around, and he's like, oh yeah, he's over there. Reuben Johnson, you're over there. Come on. And he pointed to him, and what did Reuben Johnson do? He looked behind himself. He thought it was like some other Reuben Johnson. He couldn't believe it was himself. He was actually in prison for life imprisonment, and he was in the 19th year of it. He couldn't believe that he would ever get out. He just figured his life would end there. So for the period of 19 years, he had just believed and taught himself that was his fate. And so when he was suddenly told he was free, he was just like, that can't be right. There's got to be some other Reuben Johnson here in the prison. When people hear wonderful news, it's actually very difficult for them to hear. And that was true for Sarah as well. When she was told that a year later she would have a child, she couldn't believe it. All we need to do is to thank God for what he's promised us and accept it. This Sarah of disbelief, however, did change into a Sarah of belief. And what was it, or what timing was it that happened? Once again, next year, you will have a child. That was the promise to her. And she actually laughed in response. She's like, yeah, right. That can't be possible. This laugh is a laugh of disbelief. We possibly, though, can't laugh about Sarah. To have heard from God that she would have a child within the next year is something that was just impossible to believe. It's like, I can't possibly believe something less such as that. If you, though, had heard from someone that I told you, like, I can't believe what you're saying. What you're talking about is too good. You would be really sad, right? Even if you were telling the truth, if you were saying, well, God promised this to me or something. So in this way, God was probably very sad because of her response. Do you ever worry about your future? What do you do when you become elderly? Will you need loans? What do you about your children? There's a lot of things you worry about, right? However, what does our Lord say? He says, do not worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. However, we do worry at times. And we like, yeah, Lord, you say that, but it's because you don't really understand my situation, or so we think. There's a lot of different things we worry about. We can't believe what we are told sometimes. And that's what Sarah's disbelief was an example of. However, Sarah's disbelief changes. In Hebrews 11, it states in verse 11 that by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. With faith, she was actually given the ability to have the child. She was very old and wasn't humanly possible to have a child. However, she was told that she would have a child. And so she did accept that in time, and her body was enabled to have a child. A very old, possible crippled woman was possibly transformed in a sense to a younger body that would enable her to do that. She was able to believe and was given the strength to have the promise fulfilled. How is it that she was changed to a person of belief? There's actually two key words in today's passage that indicate that. Verse 13, then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. One key part here is considering that nothing is too hard for the Lord. Sarah once again thought about who the God is that she believed in. The God she believed in is the same God that we believe in today. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He created everything from nothing. He can and can continue to do so. There is nothing he can't do. And so when the question was posed to her, is there anything too hard for the Lord? She really had to think about that. She thought about it and realized that, yes, God was capable of doing anything. And if that was the case, then he could fulfill his promise to give her a child in the body that she had at that time. Through these words, her faith was enabled to grow. The second key point is that it said that she was scared or afraid. In response to God, though it is true, it is correct to have a fear of him. If we are amazed at something, then we will, in a sense, fear it. We can realize that we, too, have elements of disbelief in ourselves. At this instant, Sarah's disbelief was able to be changed into belief. And in her heart, she was able to be given strength to have the child. As for ourselves, it is necessary for our faith to grow. How does our faith grow? Well, there's one main way, and that is through worshiping God. To worship God, and through worshiping God, it allows us to reflect on just how amazing He really is. For example, when we're singing songs of praise, and we think about or reflect on what we sang today, for example, we realize that actually singing songs of praise, it's a reflection of us professing our faith just put to a melody. As we profess our faith, then that allows our faith to be encouraged and grow. When we hear the word of God as well, that can also encourage us. In other words, every time we worship God, we can grow in our faith. There's a song, or there's a phrase in English as well, praise the Lord, but there's also a phrase, magnify the Lord. To magnify something means to expand or enlarge something. So we're praising the Lord, but we are to magnify or enlarge that concept and enlarge our concept of the Lord Himself. We can realize just how amazing the Lord is and how small our faith is at times. And in this way, we can grow our faith. You may have heard of C.S. Lewis, and he has written many works, including the Chronicles of Narnia. This lion comes forward. His name is Aslan, and he is a symbol of Jesus Christ. And then Aslan goes away, and this is a representative of Jesus' death and resurrection. And then he returns to the children. And one of the children, he says, "Whoa, it's been a long time. You look a lot bigger." And the lion responds and says, I haven't changed, actually. Actually, it's because you have seen me. Now you can see me in a bigger way. It shows that you have grown. And it's because you have grown and then that I look bigger. You can see that in this way, growing our faith now enables us to be able to see God in an even greater way. At this time of Christmas, I encourage you to allow your faith to grow even more. Let's pray. For God, there is nothing that is impossible. And we can say amen to this from our hearts. God is the eternal God, the amazing God. And He can do anything that of His intent, and no one can stop it. He also has promised and made us promises, and each and every one of them we can say amen to and accept in our faith for Him. Our faith can grow in this way. In this Christmas season, allow us, Lord, to be able to experience You in an even greater way. And please provide us with guidance. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment together in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now, this coming week, and forevermore. Amen. That concludes today's worship service. We have a few announcements and we'll close today. We have guests visiting, and we would like to welcome them, husband and wife. The Tamuras, please stand up so we can welcome you. Thank you. Thank you.